KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, we wrap up this three-game series. Then it is the Angels for a couple down there and up here. And then Arizona comes in. So, boy, what a weekend of baseball. And I love talking ball with this guy. He's the star of the leadoff show. And he's with us each weekend as well. Weekends in the park when our little family is together. And that is Adam Copeland. Adam, good morning.
Marty, it's good to talk to you. How are you, man?
Well, what can I tell you? You know, it's been quite a weekend, the ball. And where do you and I start? I'd love to get your thoughts on yesterday and maybe did you see it coming?
Well, I think at some point a lot of Giants fans started feeling like, yeah, I see it coming. Especially once things started sort of mirroring what had happened the night before. You know, the leadoff home run and then the hit by pitch, and things start to get real funky in the ninth inning yesterday. But I honestly just kept thinking back to something we were talking about yesterday afternoon before the ball game, and that's in the first meltdown on Friday night, why did nobody go out to talk to Trevor Gott? There's something to be said about managing between the ears and knowing your guys and knowing when a guy has it or doesn't have it. And I understand there's the three batter rule, but when you know what happened the night before where the guy clearly did not have it and maybe there was a little, I don't know, he was rattled. We discussed it yesterday that, you know, he was down in a squat. He was talking to himself. He could not find the strike zone. And then with a team like the A's who, you know, they strike out a lot, but they hit a lot of home runs. And when they strike out, they don't swing and miss out of the zone. They make you come in and throw them strikes to get them to swing and miss. And he did that yesterday. And Mark Canha, who's kind of like Teen Wolf. He's a maniac out there. He made him pay.
You know, anytime a pitcher takes his hat off after someone gives up a big hit and can't believe it and takes his hat off on the mound, that's not a good sign for me.
Yeah, body language is a big deal with pitchers, right? Like you know, yes. I think in the old school way of thinking, you'd look at a guy and how he carries himself, and is he getting back up on the mound? Does he have the energy? Is he missing up? You know, you look at different factors to see if a guy's exhausted. Now, it's different with a starter than with a relief pitcher. But I think we all knew when Trevor Gott came in yesterday, and it's funny because the other thing you said to me before the ball game, Marty, was, you know, they'll bounce back, right? They're big leaguers. They can bounce back. They'll shake that game off. And when a game like this happens back-to-back times, I think you start to feel like, uh-oh, maybe you're a little snake bit, or maybe there's a problem here. And I think it comes back to the manager putting guys in positions to be successful. And we've seen now in back-to-back days where the defense has let them down yet again. And I don't think they're making the right decisions structurally late in the ballgame.
Well, the defense is not that bad that should cost this. Yes, it extended an inning for a batter. Yes, Kemp got on, and Woe explained a little bit of why Pence had trouble with that fly ball the way the ball was hit. No excuse, but he explained it a little bit. But that shouldn't be a losing moment in a game. It's what happens after that. And you nailed it by saying that Trevor Gott just becomes unglued. And Bill Lasky said it, he just throws and he's not pitching anymore. And that's where the manager's got to come out and calm things down. And that's the learning curve for Gabe Kapler. So on the other side of the coin, Kapler stayed with Gausman for 106 pitches. Ruff could have been pinch hit four against the righty, and they didn't do it. And he crushed a three-run homer, which should have been a game winner. Yastrzemski had the big hit and cleared the bases and got the little league home run. So there were some things last night. Rogers stayed out of trouble. Peralta stayed out of trouble. Watson had a good inning. Adam, I'll tell you this, and I realize it's wins and losses at the end of the game, but the Giants should be 2-0 in this series.
Right, and I think when you're – the Giants are a rebuilding team, right? I don't think anybody came into the season saying this is a team that's going to, you know, win 50 of the 60 games and challenge the Dodgers for the NL West. But I do think that when you're rebuilding that there are elements of a game that you want to see. And clean defense, I think, is one of them. Little highlights of big moments where a player is in a pressure situation, like Tyler Rogers yesterday coming in a tie ball game. That was a big situation for him because there are moments where he has not succeeded in high leverage situations. And clearly they view him as a guy – who can pitch almost every day and who should be in those spots. So when you see little glimmers of hope like that, I think there's positivity. But again, when you lose two games that you should not lose, and again, one mistake, like you're saying, Marty, it should not snowball in the way it did, and it's happened now back-to-back days. Something's got to change, and some style of something has got to be different. But I just don't know that all the guys on the team are being put in the best situation to succeed right now. And I'm with you that, you know, I thought there were cool moments to yesterday where Darren Ruff, it's a home run off a right-handed pitcher. But then I think to myself, well, what's the managing philosophy here? Because if we're constantly playing the numbers, and now we're just going on feel for a guy who hasn't hit a home run all season, what's the logic behind that? And why are we now making that decision 21 games in? So for me, the frustrating part is the no rhyme or reason to certain things. And then situations like, back to Trevor Gott, I'm beside myself with how, not even Andrew Bailey, how, you know, and it's not necessarily just on him, but why there was no coach or manager that came out to talk to the guy. I just think that's managing the players versus managing the numbers is such a crucial part of the game of baseball, and I don't think we're seeing that.
Yeah, and Kaplan looks a little shell-shocked, too. Looked at him after the game, and, you know, he talks about communication and all that stuff. So we'll see. Look, the whole thing is a work in progress. It's 2020. Who knows where it's going? It's not development, I'll tell you that, necessarily, because the development is of older players. So they're trying to win games. And we'll see what they do today against Fires. And they've got a couple more lefty bats. Belt is in the lineup today. And we'll see how that plays out. Hey, a very important day in baseball today, though. We celebrate the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Negro Leagues. And, Adam, what's very important to me about it is there is a movement now to recognize every player who played in any Negro League game, box score available. I know numbers are sketchy. Dave Fleming and I talked about this yesterday. But it says if you played in one game for the Kansas City Monarchs, you're in the record book, and we want to recognize you. So a very significant day for Negro League baseball.
You know, I hadn't heard that about the record book thing, and I think that's pretty cool. Just because, you know, we the segregation of the game for so long, and when you think back to the history of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, 1947 was not all that long ago. You know, it's a very recent barrier that was broken. And so when we recognized that there were players, and, you know, we had a record and a stat the other night for the Giants blowing the 5-run lead the ninth inning and losing, they went back to 1929. There were no black players in that baseball game or in the major leagues in 1929 when that last Giants record was set. So to recognize that African-Americans were such a huge part of the game culturally in the country and were a huge part of its fabric once they integrated the game from, I mean, you could put together a top 10 baseball list and leave off Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, Marty, and probably have 10 African-American ball players on there. And I don't know that you'd get a lot of pushback, you know, some of the all-time greats. So a lot of those guys who played in the Negro Leagues, of course, they get the major league recognition, but you know, to tab your guys like your African American versions of Archibald Moonlight Graham would be kind of cool, right?
Give them it is
credit. So
it's for the you know, it's for the family, it's for history, and for a family that said, yes, my great grandfather played for the Monarchs or the New York Elite Giants or the Baltimore Elite Giants or whoever they were. I think it's significant. It's right in this country now, and baseball should get in line with it. John Thorne, the historian, is very much behind it, and that's a focal point of discussion today. So I'm glad you and I can talk about it because it's the big leagues. If you're going to recognize the Federal League and the Union League and the, you know, all these, you know, leagues prior to 1920, how do you not recognize this? So I'm glad we could talk about it.
Without question, I think we should note also, I believe, and I'd have to double check, I believe Wednesday is the celebration of Jackie Robinson Day. And I think it's the anniversary of the date that he maybe met with Branch Rickey or signed with Branch Rickey. I can't remember the significance exactly of the date, but I'm thrilled that they're continuing the celebration. I think, as you said, it's extremely important with the cult of the situation in the country right now and the tension socially with racial injustice in the country right now. I think it's great that they're continuing to do it, and I love that they're building on the Negro League celebration, that it's not simply just an acknowledgement of it, but that we're trying to include the history of it within baseball today. That's fantastic.
Yeah, great for families, and that's what it's all about, family history. Hey, today we've got Mike Fiers and Logan Webb. I don't even want to predict what could happen, although it is a right-hander. you know, when you look at the lineup for the Giants today, it is, you know, not the lineup that's been crushing the ball. What do you think about today?
I'm excited about Logan Webb. I talked to you about him yesterday. I think that he really is a piece that the Giants have that could be a part of the rotation. And when you look around, there's not a lot of young guys in the rotation here. So I know we're kind of waiting for the Sean Jellies of the world to get here, but I'm excited about what Logan Webb brings. And I'd like to see him get into the sixth and the seventh inning. I'd like to see him be effective and efficient with his pitches. I know he got let down a little bit in his last start. I think that was in Houston. Probably, you know, had a worse line than how he pitched. He didn't get any help behind him. But, you know, Marty, I'm with you. I'm a little speechless. I don't want to predict anything. I don't want to assume anything's going to happen. Who knows right now? But I would love for them to steal a game in this series because, as you said, they should be up 2-0.
Yeah. All right. Hey, great to have you on. Enjoy the day today, and we'll catch up with you next week, and we'll see where all this goes. But at least we've got baseball every day, and people are trying to be safe, and it's been quite a weekend of ball, I must say that. So it's good to have you on, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Just don't pitch to the Teen Wolf. Don't pitch to Montana. Don't let him do it to you again, Marty.
All right. All right. Who's your pick to click today? Yastrzemski, Dickerson, Solano, Belt, Longoria, Flores, Heinemann, Crawford, or Dubon?
I'm going to go with Yaz again. I love Yaz in the lineup. I think he's the find for Farhan so far. He's so far what has defined Farhan's career in San Francisco. So that's the guy. Let's go with Yaz.
All right. Very good. All right. We'll hold you to that. Adam, have a great afternoon. Talk to you next week.
All right, Marty. Talk to you later.
All right. More coming up. We've got Howard Berman, B-U-R-M-A-N. He's a wonderful author and wrote a book about Mutt's Dream. And who's that? Mickey Mantle's father. So it's a wonderful book about the early years of Mickey Mantle's life and how he became the ballplayer he became. Not a celebration of his Yankee years, but his dad and what his dad meant to him and what it was like growing up in Oklahoma. So Howard Berman hopefully will join us next. He's a local author down in the Santa Cruz Mountains in Felton, and he's got an outstanding book out. So I'm looking forward to chatting with him, and we will do that right after this on the Sports Leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader.